11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Football League podcast. My name is Mark Walden, filling in for Lee Phelps this week, but the usual man who you'll be expecting to hear on here, Mr. Pete Farries, is with me now. How are you, Pete?
Did you almost call me Lisa there?
I did, yeah, Lisa Farries.
Hello. Yes. That's the name of my sister. I actually don't have a sister, I've made it up. But I always wanted a sister, Mark, carry on.
Yeah. Okay, well, for now you can be your sister if you want. Just give us your best impression of Lisa.
She'll have, to be honest, she'll do better than naps than I have in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, so, it's been like that.
Yeah, it's been a bad few weeks, yeah.
Oh dear. The Championship, though, it's never easy to predict, Peter, and probably more of the same this weekend.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully it's much easier to predict this week, Mark. Yeah, cheers for your confidence, mate. Yeah. But there's some really good bets, I think, this week, mate, certainly.
Okay, good stuff. Well, the Championship action kicks off on Friday evening, 7:45 at the Den, as Millwall take on Bolton. Millwall are 23-20. The draw is 11-5, and Bolton are 5-2. It's 20th against 18th in the league. Only one win in the last seven for Millwall. Well, that did come last week, so maybe they've turned the corner. Whereas Bolton, unbeaten in their last six, but still down there in the wrong end of the table. Pete, how do you see this one going?
I'm really strongly behind Millwall here, Mark, at 23-20. A couple of reasons. First of all, I think the only bet I got right last weekend was that I backed Millwall to win away at a big price against Brighton. I think that's, like I say, the only thing I got right last weekend. But that 15th-minute Lee Gregory strike separated the two teams at the end. The main reason I'm looking at Millwall here, though, on top of the fact, I mean, you could look at their home form and say, what, one win in five? I mean, you could extrapolate that and say two wins in ten. And a side generally that aren't playing superbly, conceding goals, you know, five they shipped, of course, against Middlesbrough, but that's kind of fair enough. You could say the same for three against Brentford and two against Blackburn as well, all very good sides. But the reason I'm backing Millwall here is Bolton's injury list. Joe Mason's going to be out for a couple of months. Craig Davies won't be back until Boxing Day, possibly beyond. No Beckford, of course, because he's out on loan. Max Clayton's season is done now, considering he has to have surgery on a ligament damage problem he's got. So, I mean, it may well be that Emil Heskey, who's turning out for the under-21s, they might even try and squeeze him in. I'm not sure if they're allowed to, but they might try and squeeze him in because they are that short on strikers. Now, if you're looking at that, you're probably going to have to look at the youth academy lad Connor Wilkinson starting, maybe. Ida Goodjohnsen, who's also 36. But if you do start Goodjohnsen, you know, a great player in his day, but 36 trying to get up to speed. Same can be said if Heskey starts. And then you've got a young man in Connor Wilkinson. Now, if Millwall can score the way that they've been scoring, because conceding two against Blackburn, they scored two then. Conceding three against Brentford, they scored two then. Okay, you got just the one against Borough. But 23-20 for me looks a superb bit of value when you consider that Bolton, I think if they get into a goal-scoring match, which is exactly what Ian Holloway, I think, is going to try and drag this into, I don't think they're going to have the firepower to be able to stay with Millwall. I really don't. They've got a couple of injuries elsewhere as well. So 23-20 for Millwall looks really good. I'm also going to back Lee Gregory in this game as well. 9-5 any time if you want to back Lee Gregory. He scored that 15th-minute strike that I spoke about away against Brighton and Hove Albion. He's looked really sharp. He's starting to really grow. I was talking to one of his former Halifax teammates the other day who had nothing but phenomenal things to say about the guy's talent. We know what he did at Halifax. He was ridiculous. But it's not only that, it's that his goals have come recently as well. You know, won the last five home games, scored against Wolves. In the last couple of home games against Brentford, scored in the last game against Brighton. So 9-5 any time is great. But with the injury issues, and they are serious issues, that Bolton have got, 23-20 for Millwall. Delicious.
Very nice. Yeah, bit of money as well, apparently, by the looks of things, for Lee Gregory, because he's now 13-8 to score any time. So people must be agreeing with you, Pete.
That must have literally happened in the last, like, I looked at this about 4 minutes ago, because I was putting money on it. So, so wow. I mean, I didn't realise my £7 would push the market so strongly, but, you know, respected.
Yeah, it's respectable. They've seen Pete Farries putting £7 on, and they go, right, we better short on this. And just imagine if Goodjohnsen and Heskey turn out for Bolton this weekend, it'd be like we've gone back 10 years, wouldn't it? It'd be crazy to see those two playing together.
Yeah, it'd be really strange seeing Heskey and Gudjonsson. But, you know, Gudjonsson was a phenomenal talent at Bolton, wasn't he? And went off and, you know, played for some of the biggest clubs in the world. And, you know, a bit of experience that Neil Lennon's obviously relying on, and taking a bit of a punt on Emil Heskey as well, who I think statistically still has more goals in the Premier League than Didier Drogba. So there you go.
Wow. That's an amazing start, if that's right. That's amazing. Let's move on. On to Saturday's action. And the first game on Saturday that we're going to look at is the televised game at Pride Park, or whatever it's called now, the iPro Stadium. Derby are 11-10, the draw is 12-5, and Norwich are also 12-5. Derby, they're kind of not as imperious as they have been in recent weeks, Pete. Do you think they can get the better of Norwich here?
Yeah, I think they probably can. I mean, Norwich have had two cracking results back-to-back. Obviously, that win away against Wigan, narrow win, but, you know, win's a win. And a side who started the season brilliantly, had a real drop in form. Two back-to-back wins, including a really comprehensive victory over Huddersfield as well. Really, really welcome, especially as also that form early season was away from home, wasn't it? They were sensational. Lost away at Wolves, first away game of the season, then went on a brilliant run, four games in a row, then didn't win for four. And you could argue that if we carry on looking at patterns, they're going to win the next three away games, including away at Reading, Bournemouth and Birmingham. But I'm not that kind of punter. And I look at Derby here. I look at a Derby side who, you know, did really well, I thought, generally speaking, against Chelsea, but will have another player missing in Jake Buxton, who was sent off quite late in that game, wasn't he? And they put an awful lot into that game against Chelsea. They didn't look too insipid initially, and then Chelsea started to just control the match. And from there on out, they were done. Now, they lost against Middlesbrough. You can say fair enough. It's the Leeds result that maybe is a little bit worrying. You know, going to Elland Road at the moment, it's a bit, you know, sort of hit and miss as to whether you'll take 3 points. But it's their home form that makes me believe, because, you know, that win over Huddersfield, that destruction of Wolves, that victory over Brighton as well, they have looked very, very good at home. And despite the fact that I think they may well be a little tired, and I do think they may well be a little tired, I still don't want to jump back involved in Norwich yet, despite the fact they got that good 1-0 away against Wigan. So actually, for me, Mark, you know, we spoke about a couple of different markets, and we'll speak about a couple of different anti-post markets very soon as well. But I just thought the 11-10 here was absolutely superb, because even though they beat Wigan, not happy to take the punt on Norwich just yet, who I think are still a work in progress.
Okay, so Derby, a good price. At 11-10, anything else appeal to you in that, or shall we move on to the evening kickoff?
Like I say, I think the price is certainly good enough, Mark, at 11-10 to want to take the punt. And again, you could argue the other way, of course. You could say Norwich, you know, a couple of back-to-back wins, and Derby having got themselves involved in the week against Chelsea, will they be drained? They've lost Buxton, of course, who's a massive loss for them. You could add all that up together, of course, and say, well, actually, therefore the 12-5 for Norwich is a great bit of value. For me, even without Shotton, even without Buxton, I think Derby will get over the line.
OK. The final televised game on the Championship this weekend is at the City Ground as Nottingham Forest take on Leeds. Forest are 7-10, the draw is 13-5, and Leeds are 4-1. Two sides that are kind of difficult to work out, 9th and 19th in the Championship respectively. Forest started the season really well, didn't they? And then went 10 games without a win in all competitions. And in the current run of form, the last 5 games, they've won 2, lost 1, drawn 2. They take on Leeds, who not only are up and down all season, they seem to have the fair share of things going on off the field as well. Good result against Derby, but then followed it with 2 disappointing results and 6 without a win away. So which way do you play this?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Stuart Pearce has come out this week, Mark, and said, listen, this transfer bargo, it could really sort of galvanise us, boost us, get us going. But I'm not sure. I mean, despite the fact they won, of course, £250,000 as part of a transfer fund, which they're not going to be allowed to spend because they're embargoed, is interesting. And it kind of sums up their season, really, in some ways. Like you say, started superbly. They've had problems behind the scenes this week, of course, as well. Jamal Lascelles has obviously appeared in court this week. And there's been, I think, a little bit of unrest for a little while going on there. With Leeds, I mean, Mark, you actually know probably better than I here, but they would maybe enjoy a transfer embargo because it would just be a little bit quieter for a couple of weeks, possibly. It's been a strange, strange old season, as most of them have been for the last decade for Leeds fans. The one win, of course, away from home they've had this season is against top-of-the-table Bournemouth. They've not looked phenomenal in recent weeks, got battered by Ipswich, narrowly beaten, of course, by Fulham as well. And I was really confident Leeds would win that game last weekend, but Fulham, in the end, did them. And it did look for a little while like they were turning things round, didn't it? it under Neil Redfern. The victory over Derby, the victory over Blackpool. But it's really, really hard to want to be able to back them here. So the one bet, and I think it's actually, to be fair, considering the likelihood here, a very, very good bet in terms of price, the both teams to score. Now, this was even money this morning. It's now 4-5, recording this on Thursday evening. The both teams to score is incredible value. It's landed in the last five Leeds games. It's landed in all but two of their away games this season. For Forest, in terms of their home games, it's landed in six of the last seven. It's landed in, so you're looking at three games at home so far this season. It hasn't landed. Now, I appreciate there's loads of other bets. You could look at goal scorers. You know, Antonucci, for example, has been in superb goal scoring form. You could say the fact that Leeds have finally got their assistant manager role sorted out now. Steve Thompson from Huddersfield having gone in, that's great. But I just looked at this and I thought, I tell you what, both teams to score in that game doesn't half look cracking with those stats.
Okay, so are you steering away from putting a win on it? Would you back that, or would you then encompass that into backing a team? For example, the match result, both teams to score market, we've got Forest at 13-5, draw 17-5, and Leeds 7-1. Just squeezes that bit of value if you fancy somebody.
Yeah, well, when both teams to score and draw at 17-5, Mark, might be a really nice way in. Because, I mean, it's landed in two of the last five Forest home games in terms of the both teams to score, draw. You know, they have drawn two back-to-back home and away. One was both teams, one wasn't. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. You know, for those slightly more cautious punters, the 4-5 is great. But if you're asking me for an outright shout, I'd probably look personally down the barrel of the 13-5, the draw, and therefore the 17-5, the draw, and both teams to score.
Okay, a draw then in that game. The other Saturday games that we're going to look at all kick off at 3 o'clock, and we'll start at the Molyneux as Wolves take on Brighton. It's 12th against 22nd in the league. Wolves are 11-10, the draw 9-4, and Brighton 13-5, five defeats on the bounce before breaking that spell at Hillsborough for Wolves, whereas Brighton only two wins in their last 15 games, only one away win in the league all season. If you look at this from just from Brighton's perspective, you'd look to take them on, wouldn't you, with their current away form?
I think you take on Brighton in their current home form, their current away form. I think at the moment, Mark, the key to betting on the Championship is possibly taking on Brighton. Now, I'll probably say all this and they'll go on and absolutely obliterate Wolves this weekend. But I don't think that's the case. There was a huge sigh of relief when they won, of course, narrowly over Sheffield Wednesday the other day. Kenny Jackett came out and was really pleased more than anything with how they defended in that game. They obviously, of course, won their appeal over Rajiv Van La Parra. And even though that might not sound like a huge thing, sometimes that can really give a club a massive boost again, a big kick up the backside again. Yes, we've still got him. Let's go. And, you know, it's not too long away either that Nwadiko or Ethan or Evans Blake come back. So, Evans Glendall. I always struggle with that one. Yeah. Evans Landell. So, they are a side at the moment, Wolves, who I think have got a lot going for them, despite the fact they, at the end of a torrid run, it has been a torrid run, they've got that win now. Brighton are just looking torrid, if I'm honest with you. I mean, backed Millwall last weekend at the Amex. They won that one, of course. Millwall before that, they lost to Derby 3-0. You kind of say fair enough. But I just can't be backing a side who've lost to Fulham, who've lost to Millwall, who've not really offered anything for weeks and weeks and weeks, Brighton. Now, I really like Sammy Herpier, and I've got to say, I thought he did a decent job at times with Bayer Leverkusen. I thought he showed real nous, but one win in the last, 15, 16 now? It's scary, and it's not a bet that you want to be backing right now. I really don't think so. But then at the same time, with the way that Wolves have been scoring, i.e. not really hugely, I thought that Wolves by a goal was the way to play this. Now, obviously, pre-match, Mark, you can't get that as the winning margin, because it's a winning margin live. It's the in-play bet, isn't it? But if you play the handicap tie, Wolves minus one, Brighton plus one, then that is the way to play this. That's Wolves by goal. That's 11-4, and I think that's a cracker.
Yeah, I like it. As you mentioned, Brighton's so badly out of form, it's impossible to side with them. And we've seen from Wolves this season in patches that they're not a bad side, so I can see where you're coming from, yeah.
Yeah, and again, when you look through Brighton's losses this season, because there has been a lot of draws as well. You've got to factor that in, but lost to Brentford by a goal. Lost 2-0 to Ipswich, okay. But then lost to Middlesbrough by a goal. Lost to Bournemouth by a goal. You know, lost to Fulham by a goal. Millwall by a goal. You know, five of the seven losses they've endured this season by a goal. So it all plays into your favour with that Wolves by one.
Okay. Let's go to the seaside next for Blackpool.
Oh, lovely, okay.
Blackpool against...
Finally.
Yay.
I knew those letters would grind you down.
Blackpool against Bournemouth next. It's 24th place Blackpool against top of the league Bournemouth. Blackpool 19-5. The draw 11-4. And the Cherries are 7-10. Blackpool obviously had a dreadful start, but they're unbeaten in the last four now, maybe starting to get some kind of form together. But unfortunately for them, they face Bournemouth, who are flying unbeaten in the league since September. That's 11 games, are the highest scorers in the league as well. Could be a high-scoring one this, do you think?
I think it'll be a solid, pretty easy win for Bournemouth. Backing a 7-10 away from home is not always the wisest approach to betting in the Championship, is it? I think we all know that, we're all aware of that. But 7-10 is just good enough. It's just as simple as that. I mean, you know, Brendan Rodgers came out the other day and has basically said after that game in the Cup, Bournemouth will be a Premier League side next year. 3-1 victory, of course, in the week for them. But I don't see Bournemouth stopping. Their squad is relatively deep. They can make changes and still have a better squad than Blackpool can put out this weekend. I look again at Bournemouth as well, who, you know, it's amazing to think that not too long ago they were bottom of League One. I mean, it's insane. It is insane to think they are now knocking on the door of the Premier League. And they are not even knocking, they're kicking it down with force and venom. And you look at Blackpool at home as well. I mean, you've got to be fair to Blackpool. They've not lost a huge amount of games at home recently, you know, just the two to Derby and to Ipswich. But what have Derby and Ipswich got in common?
What have they got in common?
Third and fourth in the league. You know, they're one of the top five teams in the league. And Blackpool have lost to them both times. They've had other teams, Cardiff, Birmingham, of course, they beat both of those, and Bolton, who've all gone there. Sides who are struggling a little bit. Sides who aren't really playing up to their standard or the standard that they would like. Bournemouth, just flying. Absolutely flying. I really think they'll win this. They'll win this by more than just a goal as well. The minus one mark on the handicap markets is 7-4. Now, that is fantastic when you consider that, yes, they only beat Bolton 2-1. It wouldn't have landed there. It wouldn't have landed, of course, against Middlesbrough, but Middlesbrough and Blackpool are two entirely different kettles of fish. They stuck 8 past Birmingham, 2 past Sheffield Wednesday. Didn't land against Wolves either. Before that, their away form, not phenomenal. But I have to look strongly here at Blackpool to lose this game and lose it pretty comprehensively. They're getting players back. You know, the Costa Rican lad whose name just escapes me is coming back very, very soon. They're looking a bit better than I've got to say I thought they would look. I actually thought about having a bet that they didn't reach 20 points this season. And they're on 13 and they'll probably make it over that line. But Bournemouth minus a goal at 7-4, because for me, even though they put a lot into that game in the week, they'll fly through this game.
Okay, another bet that I quite like the look of, see if you can put me off. Bournemouth to win in over 2.5 goals. I think they could get over 2.5 goals themselves. 6-4, so you just get a little bit of extra value.
I'd rather that than the Bournemouth and both teams.
Yeah.
Unquestionably rather that than the Bournemouth and both teams.
Okay, but in the end it's a comprehensive win for Bournemouth really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right, Wigan against Rotherham next. Wigan are 23rd, Rotherham 21st in the Championship. Real bottom end of the table scrap, possibly, this one. 10-11 for Wigan. Draw is 9-4, and Rotherham 100-30. Wigan without a win since October. That's 7 games in total. 9 games without a win, however, for Rotherham. So who's going to break their respective winless streak here?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The interesting thing about Rotherham, though, is that even though they've not been winning games, they've not really been losing them either. They've picked up themselves 4 league wins this season. So that in itself doesn't sound great, but when you've only got 4 league wins and 21 points, that tells you what their problem has been this season, because they've actually just been drawing rafts and rafts of games. They're so hard to beat. They're just lacking that firepower. Now, Luciano Becchio, of course, returning to full fitness and will be a big, big turn for them. Emmanuel Ledesma, of course, has had chances and can be an explosive player to create. But generally, that's been Rotherham's problem this season. They've not been able to score goals. They've not been able to win games. Now, for Malky Mackay, obviously he's going into a side at Wigan that have been really struggling. But themselves, if you look at their home form, 5 of the last 6 drawn. He drew one of those himself against Middlesbrough, and of course that narrow loss to Norwich. Now, this is not my favourite, but absolutely one of my favourite bets of the week is this. And the draw at 9-4, I know the traders have got there before me, but it's hard really statistically to pull anything other than the draw out. Now, I love the under 2.5 as well. I'd rather the under 2.5 at 8-13 than I would the draw, because I think if a team's going to win this, they're not going to win this 3-1 or 2-1 or anything like that. It'll be a scrape by, which, to be honest, for both of these sides would be delicious. But 8-13 for under 2.5 match goals, also looks really good. The other one I really like, when you consider the amount of half-time draws and the amount of draws we've had recently for Rotherham. So if you look at their away form, back-to-back nil-nils for Wigan, nil-nil, nil-nil, 3-3, one-all as well within that that bracket. I really, really like first half draw. And this is often a good way to play games where A, you expect a draw, but B, where you expect very few goals, because more often than not, you're also getting into the bargain. What are you getting? Nothing to happen at half-time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be 1-1. It doesn't have to be 2-2. It can literally just be nothing happening in that first half. Even money, the draw in the first half in this match, Mark, which I think is a great price.
Yeah, I like it. It's actually at the start, who's going to end the winless run? The answer's neither. It could just be a real stalemate, yeah. Bottom of the table clash. Yeah, we'll move on from that one then. Reading against Watford as well. We'll finish our look at the Championship. And Reading are 13-8. The draw is 12-5. Watford are 8-5. It's 16th against 6th in the league, respectively. Bad week for Reading, really. They got hammered by Birmingham last weekend. Sacked Nigel Adkins on the back of that. Watford, though, they've had a bit of a November wobble, but won their last two games and very much still involved at the right end of the table. Is this a bad time to be facing Watford for Reading?
Yes, but then I think it's probably the worst time to be facing Reading for Watford. I really rate Nigel Adkins. I think he's very, very good. But it was just clear. Sometimes managers get themselves into these situations, and clubs get themselves into these situations where a good player or a good manager can be there, but for whatever reason, the mix isn't there, and it's just not working. And you know, Nigel Adkins will go on and do very, very, very well. I'm sure he will. Positive, just absolutely positive, he will. But you know. Here, it had just gone stale. It had just gone too wrong for him. And I think ultimately, Steve Clark going in there, it's going to be a very, very good move forward for the club. Now, it's interesting because if you look at Steve Clark, on the two occasions he's gone into a club and had his first game, he was the man who was a caretaker very briefly after Ruud Gullit was fired. If you remember back during that I've dropped Alan Shearer phase, because Steve Clark came in, went, right then, I'll bring Alan Shearer and Rob Lee back in. Bro, we've just got battered by Man United. Because that's what happened. His first game, he was in charge at Newcastle as a caretaker. They were obliterated. But they were obliterated by Manchester United. So, fine. His first game as West Brom manager, and I appreciate he had a bit more of a run-up there, but that was won over Liverpool. West Brom, of course, in his first game were superb against Liverpool. So he's a man who can make a difference, but I think he's more of a methodical man. He'll go in, it'll take a little time to build and grow what he's trying to do. That was always the impression that he got. Everyone got at Chelsea. He was the sort of the solid rock, wasn't he, Steve Clark? And after a summer with someone, you can make your team play brilliantly. I think in the short term, even though maybe Newcastle was a little bit of a different one, it's going to be difficult. I think Watford are excellent value at 8-5. I think even if you factor in the fact that Steve Clark has gone in, you know, you can still argue that, yes, they're hard to beat at the Medeski, but they're also a side who, you know, you can never rely on. They are the ultimate. They're the 1860 Munich of the Championship, because you never quite know what you're going to get from the win, draw, loss. Nothing would surprise you because they're that kind of side. But also, when you consider that Watford have been to Fulham, I appreciate Fulham went down to 10 and it was their keeper, but they battered them. They beat Wigan. They've looked great. Troy Deeney's got 5 goals in 2 games. So obviously 6-5 any time is a perfectly fair price. 2 or more, 13-2. I think Watford are far, far, far too good a price here. I really do. The draw, no better, 4-5 if you want to be a disgusting coward. But for me, as much as I am going to back that 4-5 because I'm a coward, I would advise other people to back Watford at 8-5.
You disgusting coward, you. Yeah. What's your best bet this weekend?
Well, it was going to be Watford, because I just looked and I thought 8-5 against a Reading side that, you know, you can't really rely on, etc., etc., etc. I have to back it. And then I backtracked a little bit, like a big girl's blouse, because I thought, yeah, but I've been stung on backing games like that recently. As much as I really do like Watford, that would be my next best, if you will. I actually like Millwall more. I think 23-20 for Millwall is really, really good value. Really, you are looking at team news there, and the fact that Bolton are just devoid of strikers at the moment. Like I said, you know, Clayton out for the rest of the season now. Beckford out on loan. Davies not fit. You know, Joe Mason's not around either. It might have to be young Connor Wilkinson and one of probably Ida Good Johnson. So, if not, maybe Emil Heskey. And I just look at that and think, if Millwall, even in the games they've been losing, have been scoring the goals they've been scoring, if they score that amount again, they'll be fine. 23-20 Millwall, my nap of the week.
Okay.
And if also, I tend to do this, and if you're listening to the podcast on, Friday, say, Saturday morning, ahead of your weekend bets, then I will move again and give you another one. It would be Watford at 8-5.
Okay. And I'll throw Wolves in there at home to Brighton. Hapless Brighton.
That was my third best.
Well, there you go. Harmony. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pete. Good luck with all of that, and enjoy the football this weekend.
You as well, Mark. You're a pleasant gentleman.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.